to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A week ago, we did a show comparing the net worth of a billionaire's family to a typical homeschool family. And of course, the Christian homeschool family has, in addition to their property and assets, they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so they're worth more than infinite U.S. dollars. So we have vast wealth beyond the richest human being on the planet. And while doing that show, I was thinking about a few families. Cheryl and I recently had dinner with a longtime friend of the show. He was in Colorado for an engineering business trip. George Craig, what a dear friend. And I was also thinking about his family, Doc Johnston. We heard from Doc a couple weeks ago. His film, The Reliant, came out nationwide in theaters. What a great film that was. And I was thinking about our own family, Cheryl and I, and our kids. Well, let me play part of a song that George Craig's family, homeschool family, young kids, that they recorded recently. Let's hear this.
Stand for truth, though you're standing all alone. Stand for truth, God will help to make you strong. Run with courage in the fight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Stand for truth, stand for truth.
So what an honor to have the dad of this family on Bob and Yurt Live, George Craig. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to be with you.
Well, we had such a wonderful time with you at dinner, and we addressed so many important questions. George, your family, how many kids, you and your wife, how many kids you guys have?
So yeah, we've been married for 25 years. We have 11 children, 9 biological and 2 adopted.
Just wonderful. And in our dinner conversation, we hit many of the issues that folks wonder, even folks who are not homeschoolers. Like, for example, they worry that homeschool kids, if they were to ever homeschool, that their kids would have very few outward connections, very few relationships outside of the family. Now, that's not been our experience at all, but I was wondering, if perhaps we start with that, how is it that a homeschool family can have so many healthy relationships outside of their four walls of their home?
Well, when my wife and I started homeschooling, that was one of my concerns. Hmm. But it was really a concern I had because of my own personality. I'm an engineer, which generally engineers are introverts.
Right.
They're happier not to talk than talk.
Yes.
And so that was kind of my default behavior. And about 10 years ago, I remember the day, I don't remember the date, but I remember the day when it struck me that I had a responsibility to my family to help develop outward connections. Because I was concerned that if I just stayed at home, which is what I would have done naturally,
right.
That my children would suffer. And
yeah.
I really think that responsibility, especially for men, responsibility is what motivates us to change.
Yeah.
We see something that needs to be done. And so we dads, we need to be aware of what our responsibilities are to our family, regardless of what we would naturally do.
Yeah. And by the way, a sideline, when the government takes away responsibility from fathers, they tend to become more irresponsible. Like when the government says, we will educate your children, we will provide health care for your children, they've just demotivated some millions of men who could have been really great fathers, but they've removed that, really, that blessing of responsibility.
That's exactly right. And so in my life, what I found is, as I reached out to in various avenues, I began to enjoy those. So now, even though my natural default behavior is still an introvert, most people I meet, they don't think I'm an introvert because
right.
I have learned to enjoy the relationships. And that's really what is, matters for eternity, right? Relationships are what we take into eternity.
Yeah. So not only does marriage help us to round us out as human beings, but that role as a father or a mother, and then the responsibility to our kids And while I would have the weakness of, say, I'm an extrovert in the extreme, so I could monopolize every conversation, but how thrilling to have our children be the ones who are keeping a conversation going at a dinner party or a sporting event or so on.
And it's so neat as a dad to see your children develop that skill. And so one of the things that my wife and I have made it a focus over the past 5 to 10 years has been to help our children learn how to develop relationships. And this is not something that most people know naturally. And so one big thing that I had to deal with in my life was I had to learn to overcome my fears so that I could teach my children how to overcome their fears. And so what we do is we teach our children, when you walk into a room, you go to a new place somewhere, you look for people that you can connect with. And if you're nervous about it, just look for somebody that looks more scared than you
right.
and make a connection with them. And
right.
It's really helped a lot, myself and my family.
So with 11 children, obviously, some are introverts, some are extroverts. God made us this way. So you must have seen that for some of the kids, this was more of a challenge. George, have they been able to do this, including the introverted kids?
It's interesting. When I have discussions with parents, this happened at a family camp we were at recently, I'm having a discussion with a dad, and I shared this with him. And I want to encourage other dads to think about this for their children.
Yeah.
And he mentioned one of my daughters, and he said, well, I know she's one of your extroverts. And I said, actually, she's my most introverted child. But
wow.
You can't see that because
wow.
She has overcome her fears. This was the girl who at 6 years old was afraid to turn on the vacuum cleaner. She
wow.
was afraid to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is I would call home at lunchtime and my wife would be there. We knew what time it was going to be. This was before texting and mobile phones and all that. But she would be waiting there by the phone and our daughter would practice answering the phone. It took her a couple weeks to even just get the courage to do that.
Yeah.
But doing that at such a young age has impacted her and really changed her expression of her personality, I'd say.
So that this friend thought she was one of the extroverts. Years ago, when the books became popular about temperament, that, you know, there are introverts and extroverts, thinkers and feelers and so on, then the realization among the body of Christ was that we can't just give in to our temperaments. We have to think about the spirit-controlled temperament, that the Holy Spirit, if I'm an intense extrovert and I monopolize every relationship, well, then I'm just giving in and I'm hurting others and hurting myself. But also, if I'm an intense introvert and I don't learn how to let the Holy Spirit work through me so that I can have healthy relationships, then I'm just giving in and it's weakness rather than strength. So that's pretty awesome, and I'm thrilled to hear that he thought she was one of your extroverts.
And we have used what you just said in teaching our children. We say when we make the focus on ourselves rather than someone else, we're really selfish. We are thinking of ourselves before thinking of others. And, of course, the Bible says we're to think of others before ourselves.
Wow.
And so when we feel nervous or we feel scared, it's good to remember that just focus on others, and it really makes it better. You end up getting a blessing from it. And as a dad, what I love the most is I benefit from all the relationships that my children have formed because I love being friends with my children's friends.
Yeah.
It's just such a blessing
right.
To be able to experience that.
Yes, amen here also. And that idea of selfishness, you come into a room and there's a gathering of folks and there's somebody who's, you could tell, they're not engaging others. And you might be thinking, oh no, woe is me. I have to go speak to a stranger. But think about that person and the love and the sacrifice. And hey, I'm going to come outside of my comfort zone and I'm going to engage that person. And then you're a blessing to that person as you yourself are learning how to build and enjoy relationships.
And this is practical. This is something that we can put in practice weekly as we go to church even, because somebody comes in to our church and there's 100 people there that they don't know.
Right.
And we as regular members, we know everybody except for them. So it's something that I have seen my children put into practice, and I am challenged by that because they do this better than I do. Mm. And it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so thankful to the Lord that he has done this work in our family. And I just can't say enough about it.
So how about then as the kids are growing, your oldest is how old?
My oldest is 21. We go from 21 down to 6 right now.
Okay. So we have now our second to the youngest son, Michael. He is engaged to a beautiful Christian gal from Alabama, Emma. And we're so thrilled for them that this has just happened. And so how about as your kids are growing and this idea of courtship and marriage comes into play, as homeschool parents, you and your wife, how do you guys address that?
Well, as we think towards the future, now we're at the very beginning of it, right? So we have one daughter that's in a courtship relationship. But the way that we look at it is, it's our job as parents to help prepare our children for life. That, if you could boil down the job of a parent, it's to help your children learn how to become adults and get them ready for life. Mm-hmm. And so finding a spouse is one of those areas that I think parents should be involved in. In fact, it's better if parents are involved as long as it's a healthy involvement.
Right.
And so we have looked at this idea of family networking as we build relationships because relationships are valuable. And, oh, by the way, you might end up finding a spouse. Now, you don't form a relationship so that you can find a spouse.
Right.
But those spouses will come out of those relationships. Mm. And there's some benefits in doing this. Our children learn how to evaluate people. They learn how to evaluate what they like and don't like. In other words, their first thought about their spouse isn't a romantic attraction or infatuation. It's an intellectual thought of what are the things that I value and what are the things that I want to see in a potential spouse.
Yeah.
And that seems like a much more solid footing to begin a lifelong relationship like marriage.
Yeah, I think about the kids who grow up in families, they're not Christian, they're in government schools, and they're immersed in the culture, which is sexually immoral, and they don't know what love is. Love is a commitment to the good of someone. And so when you're a part of the culture and you think love is this rush of emotion you got by looking at some guy or some gal and they ask you to go to the movies or something, and that rush of emotion, that's love. And then nowadays, people don't even get married for decades sometimes. But then that rush of emotion could go away. It does go away. And then, of course, relationships are destroyed. Whereas when we grow up with a biblical worldview and we realize God's love for us and our love for him and for one another, love is not an emotion. Emotions come along with love in very different ways. But love is a commitment. And so for our kids to learn these things, and then you look and you say, well, is this guy the kind of person who has learned how to make commitments? And you look at his life, and his life is in turmoil, and you think, well, he might be good looking, he might be funny, but he doesn't know what it means to make and hold a commitment. And so that wouldn't be appealing, hopefully, to a child who's growing up to recognize what is important in life.
That's right. And this is where sibling relationships are important, because we teach our girls, not only are you have to be the right person in order to attract the right person, but you need to be the right kind of person because you're going to be an example to your brothers about what kind of girl they want to look for to marry.
Hmm.
And your brothers, your boys, you need to be a man. You need to be a good example to your sisters about the right kind of man they want to look for. That's just a different way of looking at family relationships. Usually most people talk about family relationships as though that they're bad and they're the most annoying relationships in their lives.
Right.
And of course that's because you spend so much time with them. It's easy to get on people's nerves that you spend a lot of time with. And so we have to teach our children, we have to learn ourselves as parents, how do we get along with someone who you're going to annoy sometimes? That's just part of life, and we need to learn how to resolve conflict.
Over the
that's
years,
something we're learning all the time.
We're speaking to George Craig, homeschool father. George, over the years, people listening to the show, young guys, they get frustrated. They want to be married, and they can't find a woman. I ask them about their lives, you know, and they spend 30 hours a week playing video games or something. And I say to them, the first step is to become the kind of man that a godly woman would want to marry. That's your first step. And regardless of what happens in the world, in the future, in your life, you are going to benefit immensely from becoming that kind of man. And then if it happens that you and a woman find one another, you court, you marry, then the blessings are eternal. But that's step one. Become the kind of man that a godly woman would want to marry.
Absolutely. And it's a truth that just bears itself out all the time. You will attract the kind of person that you are. Mm. And you could say it a different way. You will attract the person who's at the same emotional stability and emotional health that you are. And so if you are both running towards the Lord with your life, well, just look to the side and see who else is running in your direction.
Right.
That's probably somebody who's worth considering to get married to.
Wow, that's a great point. So that the events that you mentioned that you guys had gone to family camp. So going out, and again, you said you were an introvert. That might not be something that you would just say, hey, I want our whole family to go to a family camp. But could you talk about how something like that happens and some of the benefits from it?
Absolutely. And there's a lot more to this story that is takes a long time to go through. But the bottom line is that we met a family who runs a family camp out in Iowa. And I decided, you know what, we need to make some family connections. So we met this family. We went to one of their concerts. And that was it. We were going to go. And it was 12 months later that we're driving to this camp. And my children are saying, they remember this. This is a very vivid memory.
Yeah.
They're saying, Dad, why are you making us do this?
Right.
And I said, no. I said, you will only get out of this what you put into it. And so you're not allowed to be shy. And of course, all the time, I'm like quaking in my boots, feeling shy.
Yeah, right.
But I told them, and they remember that to this day. That's 6 years ago, and they remember driving down the gravel road to this camp, and we've been back every year since, and it's been such a blessing. In fact, my daughter that's in a relationship, she met the guy she's in a courtship with at this camp, and I'll tell you the story because it's so neat. He was there with his sisters, and she was going to go over and say hello to her his sisters, and she didn't see him there. And she went around the corner, and he was there, and she's like, I kind of wanted to leave because I didn't really know how to talk to boys yet. This was a few years ago. And she went up and said hello, and then said hello to him and greeted him. He said years later, he told her, if you wouldn't have said hi to me, we probably wouldn't even be in this relationship because I was used to girls ignoring me, just talking to my sisters.
Wow, yeah.
And so it's just, you never know. She
right.
didn't do that because she wanted to get into a courtship. She did that out of her heart, out of her just being polite and valuing people. And so you just never know what circumstances will lead to.
Mm.
We can't manufacture them, but God works through those things as we honor him. And that's just something that I have learned so much. I've learned from listening to your ministry.
Oh.
I wanted to share a few things that I have been challenged by. One was just the plot, understanding the role of Paul. And I'll tell you, my background, I went to a Christian college, Christian school. My dad was a pastor, but I didn't really understand the overview of the Bible.
Wow.
And as I started listening to the plot, it was interesting. I knew so much Bible that I could then, in my mind, I'm anticipating what comes next. So I said, well, if this must be true, that means that.
Yeah.
And I would feel that. I went through weeks of doing that and just seeing it through new eyes.
What a joy, isn't it, George?
Yeah.
when we become Christians, we go to church, go to Sunday school, quite often our local church, our denomination, they emphasize certain doctrinal issues, if any, and that's what they tend to teach. So people become experts. Let's say it's a church that focuses on the end times and tithing, let's just say, right? And so then their members are experts on those two issues. But generally, most people go to that church for 30 years. They don't really have an overview of the Bible. If you press them, what is the plot of the Bible? Are there any plot twists? How does this book fit into the overall arc of the history of scriptures? Many Christians have no idea. It would be like watching a movie, but you take it all out of order. You cut it into 30-second pieces, and you mix them all up out of order. And people watch that confusion, and then you say, well, do you understand it? So the plot is an overview of the Bible as the key to its details. And what a blessing we've had, George, for going on 30 years now with the plot helping us stay on the air as people get the teaching, you know, the audio downloads or MP3 CDs, or they read the book, and this is my life's work. And so not only do people get excited about understanding the Bible at a deeper level, but it also helps us stay on the air to reach more people.
And what happens when you feel like you don't understand, what you tend to do is just withdraw from the Bible and say, well, I'll understand from the expert, and whatever they say, that's probably what I'll go with. And then we listen to different experts, and it depends on who we trust to what we believe.
Right.
And it's just so much more rewarding to engage the scriptures personally. And I still read other people, but I want to understand from the Word of God directly what's going on there.
And so it's just... Yeah. And isn't it fun? You could look at entire denominations and you see the doctrine that they teach and how it contrasts with the church denomination right down the street. And we could understand what motivates and what drives their differences because we could see which part of the plot of the Bible they are focused on and which parts they're de-emphasizing.
That's right. That's right. Another area that I've appreciated is just getting a biblical worldview on the social issues. Oh. And there are a few we could talk about, like identity, justice, abortion. I tell you, we got involved with a personhood initiative here in Ohio, specifically because of BEL.
Wow. Wow.
Now, unfortunately, we didn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot.
Yeah.
But my children, my girls actually wrote a song about pro-life called If the Babies Had a Voice.
Oh.
And it was just amazing to be involved with that, but to see we can look at the scriptures and see what's happening in our world around us with such clarity that people who don't understand the scriptures, they see them all as disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
These disconnected issues that don't really have anything in common. They're all tied together. They're linked together to whether people submit to the Word of God or the fight against the Word of God.
George, I don't want us to run out of time without asking you about raising your family with biblical roles in mind. The culture hates biblical roles. How do you guys work with that?
Well, if you look at our culture, the whole point of our culture is to diminish any differences between men and women. And that goes all the way down to the infant, the children level. And so we want to raise our children with the goal of, boys, you're going to grow up to be men and you're going to lead your families.
Yeah.
And girls, you're going to grow up to be women, most likely wives and mothers, and you're going to be a helper. Well, the thing about helpers are you don't know what you're going to be doing as a helper until you know who you're helping.
Right.
And so we raise our girls with the mindset of you need to have a broad scope of experience because you don't really know where you're going to end up until you get married.
Right.
If you do get married. Right. And men, we want to develop deep. We want to develop a skill and expertise that we'll be able to support a family. And so it's a little bit different with guys and girls. how you raise them, even as children. But you're always doing it with the end in mind. And this does not happen accidentally. I heard this just the other day. Intentionality is the bridge between good intentions and good actions. And we need to be doing what we're doing on purpose. And that's one thing that my children will tell you, my wife and I are always talking about. Why are we doing what we're doing?
Wow.
So look at how your life is structured. Look at what you're doing in your family. Why are you doing that? What's the purpose? What's the goal? And so everything that we have done to the best of our ability has been to further the mission, the goals of our family, whether it's to raise our children or to reach out to other people and minister to them.
The Craig family photo at your website, heritagehillmusic.com. George, I absolutely love this photo of you and your wife and these wonderful kids.
Now, it was so fun to sing as a family. And so music ministry is just something that we have done when we have the opportunity. And so what I say is when we travel, we look for opportunities to serve. That's how we ended up at Denver Bible Church a few years ago.
Yes. In fact, the photo, it looks like a family reunion, you know, for some families. But for you guys, it's a family photo. And so we will link to your website. And as we close the show, we'll play more of Stand for Truth. So I want to thank you so much, George Craig, for coming on Bob and Yurt Live.
It was great to be with you. Thank you, Bob, for having me.
Okay, you're very welcome. And the Craig family, they are tied in with other friends of this program. And what a joy to know them and to realize that this blessing is available not only to one or two families, a handful, but to all those who trust in the Lord and follow him. What a blessing to recognize not only the Craig family, but that these kinds of blessings are available to everyone who trusts in the Lord. If you know the Lord and trust in him, the things that God wants to do in you and that God wants to do through you will be extraordinary, and forever we'll be thanking him. So this is Bob Enyart, the website kgov.com. May God bless you.
Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth.
There's a war within our land, a battle for the right. The lights of the enemy are clouding out the light. But God has raised his banner high, he calls for no retreat. As faithful soldiers, let us stand and claim his victory. Stand for truth, though you're standing all alone. Stand for truth, God will help to make you strong. Run with courage in the fight, walk by faith and not by sight. Stand for truth, stand for truth.
And so the battle rages with choices every day.
Will we search the word of God or toss the truth away? Let us hold on to his promises and seek the higher call. Listening for the victory cry, giving him our all. Stand for truth, though you're standing all alone. Stand for truth, God will help to make you strong. Run with courage in the fight, walk by faith and not by sight. Stand for truth, stand for truth.